Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Well, welcome, listeners. Really glad to have everybody here this Sunday. This is part two of my sister's coming to town for a fundraiser that my husband and I do, our little garden party. And I've got my sister Sandy, Sue, and Judy here with me in the studio. Welcome, girls.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Yeah. So last week we talked about the beginning of mom's disease, how we kind of figured out what was going on. The first nursing home we put in her in didn't work well. Having her stop driving, we just kind of went through a lot of stuff, and getting CareTrack up and running for the citizens of Decatur, the electronic bracelets, and so on and so forth. But today we're going to have a little laugh, I hope, one or two, about mom being at the second nursing home that was actually really good, and how that could be a very positive experience for everybody. So some of the things that people have questions on are, once I get my mom into a home, can I ever take her out? Sandy, you used to take mom to DQ for lunch. Tell the listeners about that.
Every week we had the same routine. I would go pick her up for lunch, and we would go to Dairy Queen and have our lunch. Same meal every week so she wouldn't get confused. And then after we'd leave there, we would go to the local discount store. And Monticello, where Piatt County Nursing Home is about 5,000 people, so they didn't have a lot of places to shop. So we went to this one local discount store, and we always went in there every week for candy and a magazine. That was it. Candy to share with the residents and the staff and a magazine. Well, one day we went in, and Mom surprised me. She just started taking things off the shelf. And I looked at her, and I said, Mom, put that back. We don't need that. And she threw a little temper tantrum. Well, I managed to get her to calm down, and we got our groceries and left. And I thought, you know, next week I've got to do something different, because we can't keep doing that. And I didn't want to stop taking her out. So I just walked in the next week with a shopping cart. I didn't say a word. She didn't say a word. She started filling the shopping cart. So I let her get about four or five items in the cart. And when she turned her head to grab something else, I started putting stuff back on the shelf. And a couple of times she'd stop and look in the cart like, you know, there was more things in there than what there was, but she wasn't sure, you know. We just kept shopping, and by the time we got to the checkouts and walked out the store, everybody was happy. The staff was happy because everything was put back where we found it. Mom was happy because she got to shop to her heart's content, and I didn't gripe at her. And I was happy because we left with candy and a magazine, and that was it.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And Sue, one of the things that you did was you got Mom a boombox, and you go and sing to her all the time. Yeah. And I created a Christmas CD for her, and holy smokes, in Monticello in the summertime, 99 degrees, 100% humidity, Mom's listening to my Christmas CD, right?
Right.
But you'd play music for her.
Right.
Talk about that a little bit.
Oh, she loved music. She loved Anne Murray. I mean, she loved Anne Murray. We sang that. We sang Christmas songs January through December. She loved Amazing Grace. She loved In the Garden. We just sang all the time. Even when she wasn't able to sing anymore, we played the music and I sang. All the way up till her passing, I sang that day until I couldn't sing anymore, and I kept going.
Right. Yeah, that was fun.
She loved it.
Yeah. And Judy, you happened to bring up something this weekend I thought was kind of important. Our brothers always were looking for ways to get involved. Our brother Doug, who lives here in Colorado, wanted to be helpful. I wanted to be helpful. And sometimes we would send you money so you could buy food for the nursing home.
Sandy bought a lot of the big stuff like pizzas and whatnot, and every now and again I'd hit La Gondola, it's an Italian restaurant, and bring stuff in. Or I would stop at a Huck store. It was colder than all get out outside, and I'd get hot chocolate. People were coming to me like, oh my God, what do you got? It smells so good. So I'm sharing it with everybody. I learned.
Right.
Bring a bunch. everybody in the place, residents and staff, got to have something to drink.
Right.
I even went on third shift to thank them for how good they would do.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I would come in on second. Sandy would do first.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like people forget that nursing home staff usually is like a second family.
Right.
Exactly.
So you treat them right, and hopefully they will treat your family right.
Right.
They know that you're going to come in anytime.
Right. And Sandy, anytime you needed something for Mom.
Oh, it was unbelievable. I mean, if Mom needed something, or it was Christmas or whatever, especially, you know, if I needed money or something, I'd call and Doug would say, how much? You know, didn't even bother. He just checks in the mail, you know, or what do you need? She needs clothes. Well, then she ended up with an overabundance of clothes because, you know, there wasn't a lot you could get her when she was in the nursing home. So, but anytime I needed anything, you know, Christmas, birthday, whatever, you guys were right on top of it. I mean, just, you know, whatever you need, here it is. So
yeah, and it really helps, doesn't it, for everybody to really work together and make sure that we were taking care of the staff that was taking care of Mom, and they became like family.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, they came to her going away party, as my daughter Emily wanted to call it. She couldn't say her passing or her funeral. She wanted it a going away party, but they were there. They spoke about Mom. It was an awesome party.
It was really funny to me that like 8 or 10 people wanted to speak at her eulogy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we were like, we can't have everybody getting up from the nursing home talking, but 6 of them did. We gave 6 of them a chance to talk to her, and they literally all came in to say goodbye to her, and we donated her brain to science. We're going to talk about that in the second segment today, but it was very important that we had that love between them, and it was amazing how they all came in and wanted to say goodbye to her and laid in bed with her, held her, sang to her, talked to her.
Yes,
they honored us, and we honored them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Mom was there 47 months to the day before she died.
Wow.
So, I mean, we got to know them. We got to know the residents and the residents' families. I mean, we became one big family. And, you know, I would talk to the CNAs, and if it's your mom, what would you do? And they were very honest with me. Well, I would do this or this. And the nursing staff would ask, you know, can we do this? And, you know, things I never think about. And, you know, so, I mean, we talked to them a lot, and we spent a lot of time with them, had some laughs, and, you know, helped the staff with the other residents and stuff, so.
Yeah, and you guys actually would visit with other residents when Mom was asleep or something.
They were so much fun, those people. I mean, the residents, I mean, you know, they became second moms and dads to us. I mean, we'd had a whole ward full of them, so.
Yeah, and that was really just the amazing thing, how much love that we showed them, how much love that they showed us. We're going to get into really talking about, again, revisiting from the last segment. We talked about how we made some mistakes at the first place that Mom was at. We took them to task on it. We made them accountable for the care or lack of care that they gave her. But at the second place, we had care plan meetings. Yes. And that wasn't always easy. There was a lot that we had to go through. That we would not allow them to give her medications after that. And sometimes that was a little tug of war. But we're going to talk about that when we come back from a break with our sponsor. And we love Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. They are such an awesome community. For listeners out there, a couple of months ago, I had several different communities on Springwood, Spring Ridge, and Landmark Care, along with Bellevue Heights. So if you need a good place, you know where to get it now. We'll take a break and we'll be right back.
Making the decision to place your loved one in the care of others is one of the most difficult decisions you'll ever have to make. If that someone special is in your life and is needing memory care, Bellevue Heights is the place to call home. Bellevue Heights, part of the JEA Senior Living family, is deeply committed to serving people living with Alzheimer's and other related dementias. Bellevue Heights believes that supporting families and caregivers is just as important as caring for our residents. We offer free monthly support groups, education and lecture series, and presentations by experts in Alzheimer's and dementia care. All of our programs are free and open to the public. Call Bellevue Heights at 303-690-0700 to learn more about the high standard of individualized care they can offer your loved one. And ask about our current and upcoming education opportunities and support groups. Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center is located at 14500 East Bellevue Avenue in Aurora. Visit jeaseniorliving.com or call 303-690-0700 to schedule a tour. Come home to family. Come home to Bellevue Heights.
Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay, we're back. I've got my sisters here. They visited from Illinois, and we were very honest with listeners last week on our show about some of the best laid plans that we had that didn't go so well at the first community that we were at. They were over-medicating her. They were the kind of place that had people sitting in wheelchairs, holding baby dolls, frothing at the mouth, and we took exception to that. So when we got Mom out of that community and took her to a new one where they gave her great care, one of the things that we didn't get at the first place, we got at the second, and that was care plan meetings.
Yes.
Important.
Yes.
Yes.
Vital.
Yeah. Go ahead, sis. Sandy?
Well, we would have care plan meetings, and Sue and Judy would take off work early and come and sit with me. And
I'd call in.
You tried to call in. Their system didn't work sometimes on their phone, but I always tried to take notes and everything. But, yeah, they were very open, very honest about everything. And, you know, at first it was, you know, trying different things, and they'd say different things. But, you know, as Mom progressed, it was pretty much, well, Mom did this, you know, same routine all the time. But, you know, they would say where she was progressing or not. And but, I mean, just having those care plan meetings was wonderful because we knew exactly where she was at.
We talked about her nutrition. We talked about her weight. We talked about her stages. And we talked a lot about new nurses coming in trying to give her Seroquel. Like, what is with that, right? That was driving me crazy. So they struggled to understand, and we walked a fine line of them thinking that we were the troublesome family.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? But then I sent the MAR. I broke it down. The medical account record that we had to fight to get. I had to get the state's attorney to threaten the first nursing home that they had 24 hours to give it to me. But we gave it to the second place and said, this is why we don't want her over-medicated. And I tell you, I really took account of that and said, you're not going to give her Seroquel. You're not going to give her that drug. And they didn't like that very much, but they ended up working with us.
Yes.
But the day came when we gave that list of all those medications Mom was on every day to the executive director and the doctor, and they cried.
Yeah, they were shocked.
They were in tears at the amount of drugs they had given our mom.
And they worked so hard to get her panic attacks under control. I mean, they gave her different medicines. If that didn't work, they had to wean her off and then put her on something else. And the panic attacks in between that time were bad. But they finally got her up about 2 months later. They finally got her panic attacks under control. But
yeah,
it took a lot of work.
Actually, sis, it was about 6 months later.
Okay.
And every time they gave her a new drug, if it didn't work, they would wean her off of it for 3 weeks to walk her down and then try something new, which is the way you should do it so people don't have heart attacks or strokes and things like that. And it literally took 6 months for Kim to get the right drug and the main doctor that we had, and it ended up being a 20-year-old drug, Prolixin, that they gave her that actually calmed those tremors a little bit, but she ended up not having the anxiety attacks so much. But if we hadn't have been so diligent, that wouldn't have happened.
Right
care.
Yeah, and working with that community, we worked in a positive way.
Exactly.
So we didn't have to be the family that was always barking, no, you can't medicate her, you can't medicate. That wasn't the problem. The problem was we wanted to make sure that they were trying to treat a symptom, target a symptom, and look for a positive result from that. Don't just throw medication at people. That's not okay.
Exactly.
That's not okay. Work with the disease and if they're targeting a symptom. But I told listeners last week that we actually took that first nursing home to task. Well, we changed a couple state laws.
Yes, we did.
And one of those laws was they have to have a gradual dose reduction. So one day, Sandy calls me and says, they're weaning mom down off of this drug and it's working for her. What's going on? And I said, sis, that's our law working. So you can't give somebody a drug continually without targeting a symptom. And that's something we changed in Illinois.
Yes we did.
Yeah, crazy but cool. Yes. And sometimes it causes problems, sometimes it doesn't. But the other law that we changed in Illinois, and we thank very much the legislatures in Illinois. Actually, I got a call from the governor's office one day, and I thought it was a joke. I thought it was like in April. I really did. And they said, this is the governor's office, and he'd like to talk to you. And I was like, huh? And so they were telling me that they had heard about Mom's story because we had a Chicago reporter come down and do a story on
Chicago
it
Tribune.
About the over abuse of drugs and all the Chicago Tribune. Yeah. And so what happened was they made a group, a task force that went through the entire state of Illinois, and they now have the gradual dose reduction law, but they also will not allow people with a criminal record and of abuse or drug abuse or anything like that. They cannot work in Illinois nursing homes.
Yay.
Yes. Yes. And I'm proud of you girls. I'm proud of everything we did as a family that we changed that in Illinois. I think people in Illinois are safer because of Mom's plight, right?
Exactly. Yeah, right. It happened for a reason, unfortunately for Mom. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I wish we wouldn't have had to go through it. I wish we hadn't to go through it. I wish we wouldn't have so much regret over it. But the truth of the matter is that we made some changes. Her life wasn't in vain.
Exactly.
It was a learning curve.
Serious learning curve. Yeah.
So we're more than happy to share with you all.
Yeah.
Because it happens.
Yeah.
As you might, it happens.
Yeah. So those things are important, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. How does that make you girls feel?
I'm proud of it that we made some changes, but like you said, I felt bad for Mom and all that she went through, you know, to get to that point, you know, and we made the mistakes, but you know, it happened. And like you said, we tried, no regrets, just, you know, move on. And can't spend the rest of your life regretting that, because it'll eat away at you. Just let it go. You did the best you could with what you knew. You did it with love, you know.
Absolutely. And Judy, for you, your worst nightmare was having Mom go out of your care and go someplace.
Yes.
And then the first place that we went, every bad dream you ever had came alive.
First day, she called me up, Judy, you forgot me.
Yeah.
I bawled.
Yeah. And then, but we learned, right?
Mm-hmm.
We
yeah.
learned. Getting her to the second place, everything we learned about the families, and we got some teary eyes in here right now, mm-hmm. But you know, hey, we're not perfect. Mm-hmm. We try to help people. I have this radio show so we can tell people, look, just do the best you can with what you have. And if something goes wrong, just be astute enough to try to fix it. You know,
learn as much as you can about this disease. I mean, even with what we knew, I mean, you armed us with so much information. Sometimes it seemed overwhelming, but it was good to have that information. But yet it still happened on our watch. But, you know.
Right.
Everybody's different.
You know? Right.
You investigated the nursing home, second nursing home, and found out they were a trained facility. And I was amazed. One of the CNAs came up and says, I am so glad your sister works at the Alzheimer's Association, because you worked there at the time. She says, we've got videos we're supposed to watch, and these people have bouffant hairdos.
Yeah, they literally.
And I called you. I said, how much does this cost? And can we get them something?
Yes.
Get it updated. Because they were excited.
That's exactly right. They were hungry for knowledge. And so I sent the leaders in dementia care videos and information, actually flew back and helped train the staff there. Because if they were going to take care of Mom, we weren't making any mistakes this time. Well, when we come back from our break, I want to talk about the funny things that happened. The funny residents, the good times we had, and just the love we share as a family. So we're going to take a break, listen to a word from our sponsor. Girls, I'm glad you're here from Illinois. Sandy, Sue, and Judy. And listeners, thanks for being a part of this and trying to learn something new about how to care for your loved ones.
Making the decision to place your loved one in the care of others is one of the most difficult decisions you will ever have to make. If that someone special is in your life and is needing memory care, Bellevue Heights is the place to call home. Bellevue Heights, part of the JEA Senior Living family, is deeply committed to serving people living with Alzheimer's and other related dementias. Living with purpose and meaning is the best reward at Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. Your loved one will live life to its fullest. Licensed nurses on staff 24 hours a day, compassionate caregivers, 3 well-balanced meals, and 3 healthy snacks are a few key elements of the JEA difference. We also offer fully furnished private and semi-private rooms, meaningful activities, and scheduled outings. Call Bellevue Heights at 303-690-0700 to learn more about the high standard of individualized care they can offer your loved one. Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center is located at 14500 East Bellevue Avenue in Aurora. Visit jeaseniorliving.com or call 303-690-0700 to schedule a tour. Come home to family. Come home to Bellevue Heights.
Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay, so I'm back with my sisters. Let's have a few laughs, shall we, at Mom's expense. It's been 5 years since she passed away. She passed away on August 25th of 2012, just 2 weeks before the walk to end Alzheimer's that I was managing here in Denver. But let's tell some funny stories on her. Let's see. Who wants to start? Uncle Jim's visitation. Sue.
That will go to Sandy. She can tell this better.
Uncle Jim, Dad's youngest brother-in-law, had passed away, and so Mom, Sue, and Judy and I went down to Pena, which is about a 30-mile drive from Decatur, and it's a small town, and we went to the visitation, and the funeral home, of course, is small, but Uncle Jim was very popular, so they had it roped off so they could get as many people in there as possible, and Mom was like a kid, you know, why are we here? I don't want to stand here. Can we go home? You know, where's Jim? Yeah, I want to talk to Jim, you know, and then she'd walk off, you know, and try and talk to other people, and we'd have to rein her in. And it took about 30 minutes to get to the casket, and it was only 2 rooms in a hallway, but it took that long to get there. So fortunately, our entire family, Mom's side and Dad's, are funny people. We all love a good laugh. It's a good thing, and they all knew Mom had dementia, you know, so we get to the casket, and Mom looks at Uncle Jim, and she says real loud, she goes, "Good God, what happened to Jim? He looks like he's dead." And I started laughing. And our cousin Bob, it was his dad, big old Bob, he comes over to little bitty Mom. He puts his arm around her shoulder, and they're standing there looking at the casket like they don't have a care in the world. And he says, "You know, Aunt Dolores," he says, "you're right, he does look dead." And Mom's head bobbing up and down like, "Yeah, I know, I'm telling you."
Somebody call an ambulance.
Everybody was laughing. So that's when we found out that we couldn't take Mom to things like that anymore. And
I think I recall saying, "I don't think you should take her."
Yeah, so I didn't have a whole lot of sympathy for that. So Judy, one of the funniest moments we ever had, I bought Mom that bear.
Oh, my goodness. If any of you used to go in Safeways and King Supers, they'd have these huge stuffed animals on top of the refrigerators. And I bought Mom one that was about 3 or 4 feet tall. It was really big. And I put it in a little bitty box. And do you remember calling me saying, "I want you to hear something"? And you'd pop the box open and
it popped open and this bear pops out as much as it could pop out. And Mom looks at me, and I think it was Christmas time. And she says, "Does Jill think I'm in a second childhood?" I said, "Well, you never know."
But she liked it.
Oh,
and
loved
it. And she'd have you put it back in and put the tape back on and say, "Do it again, do it again." And she'd pull the tape off and the bear would pop up, "Do it again, do it again." And you said, "If you ever do this again, I'm going to shoot you." That was so funny. But that was really funny. So, Sue, there were a lot of funny times at the nursing home. A lovely little gal named Velma. And another one, Gladys, I think, that walked around with different colored glasses on all the time.
Gladys had different wigs, too.
Talk about her sunglasses and funny times.
Her sunglasses and her funny times, her hat, her wigs and things, they'd be on sideways, they'd be on backwards. She had big, I can't remember who the comedian was that wore the big, Jack Benny or somebody that wore the big glasses. They would be crazy looking. And she loved to sing and loved to dance, but she was in a wheelchair. So we would dance her in the wheelchair. But she just had a comment for everything, and she knew every song ever played, written, anything. She was just a great lady.
Oh, yeah, we had a lot of fun. And sometimes you guys go in to visit Mom, and she wouldn't even acknowledge you, would she, Sandy?
she would just, if somebody else was in the room with me, you know, like you come home, or Doug, or, you know, our adopted brother Norm, or my husband Ted, she would just stare at them, and I would try and get her attention, and she would ignore me. And I'd go in her line of sight, and she'd turn her head. she would do that no matter who came in. And when she got to the point where she slept most of the time, they would tell me, you know, I'd come in after work, and they'd say, your mom's awake until about 30 seconds ago. And then I'd come in, and she'd be sound asleep, and I couldn't get her awake to save my soul. So it was fun to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really, really funny. And, man, we just had a lot of good times with her, you know? One of the harder times, though, was when they tried to teach Mom how to use a walker.
Oh, no.
With Alzheimer's, that didn't go well. And we struggled with, should we use a wheelchair or stuff when she had a shuffled gait? Mm-hmm. Talk about that a little bit.
They called it the D shuffle because the person walking with her would walk backwards, and they had to rock her back and forth to get her hips to move, for her feet to move. And they tried to use a walker, and Mom would pick it up and carry it everywhere. So they had to say, you know, fine, we can't do the walker. We'll just have to wait until she's wheelchair bound before we, you know, do anything like that. But
yeah.
The D shuffle came from, her name was Dolores, but they called her D, so it was the D shuffle. Shuffle.
Oh, that's hilarious. So in just kind of wrapping all this up, you know, this whole thing, everything. I want each of you to talk about just her, the whole thing. What's your final thought on it?
You know, we had laughs with Mom, and we laughed about Mom. And Sue's son-in-law, when Sarah and Joe first got married, he couldn't understand why in my emails I was making fun of things. And Sarah said, you know, my mom and my aunts and uncles have been dealing with Mom's Alzheimer's for 25 years, you know, before she died, and we had to find the humor in it. And so that's what we tried to do. Otherwise, we'd be crying all the time about, you know, how things turned out and,
right,
and, you know, how Alzheimer's progresses and stuff. So.
Exactly. How about you, Judy?
That happened from a book you told us about, Hedge People.
Yes.
That was funny.
Very funny book.
It tells you to make light of everything or you will cry. And Mom was the type of person, she would laugh anyhow.
Right. She had a great sense of humor.
Yes.
And the thing is, she would hear me walking down and talking to somebody. Judy, your mom knows you're here. She recognized your voice. My cousin Linda laughed one day. We were having a reunion at Sue's house. And I said, Linda, Mom hears you. She came running around. Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. How about you, Sue?
My final thought, we didn't talk about this, but I took my grandson, Nolan, my very first grandchild, to the nursing home from the time he was 2 years old until Mom passed away. I also took my dog, who was not a pet vet, but I would bathe her and brush her, and she was just as calm as everything with anybody, but that helped me get through it, and Mom loved the baby and loved the dog. The other residents fought over it was a rabbit or a cat.
Right. But,
yeah, those things helped me and helped me get through everything Mom was getting through, and it helped Mom, too.
Well, you girls just did an awesome job. I think we did a great job as a family. My funniest thing, which I hope listeners will forgive me for saying this, but I always wish that we could have Mom back how she used to be. Well, we gave her brain to science because I've told our listeners that we're part of a research study. They're studying our family over time. So when they did that, they took her brain out, and they fixed her up for visitation. We did have a visitation. And I walked up to look at her, and she looked like she was 40. And I just burst into laughter. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, I got my wish. She looked amazing.
Yes, she did.
And at that point, I went from laughing to crying.
Yeah.
Well, next week, I'm going to have somebody on named Linda Holloway, and she's going to talk about her journey and the legacy she has for her grandmother called Bessie's Hope, where she brings children together with people at nursing homes. And that's going to be a fun conversation over Labor Day weekend. And I hope you all enjoy it. So thanks for listening, people. I just wanted you to know that even though I talk about different ways to work with this disease, we've tried a lot of things that worked and a lot of things that didn't work. We're all human. We just do the best we can. I love you out there in Caregiver Nation. Keep listening. Love your comments. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. Visit her website at summitresiliencetraining.com to learn more and join us next week as we learn more about dementia, Alzheimer's, and overcoming obstacles with a positive outcome. See you next time.